Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great time to talk to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Of course, insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, a lot to get into. I want to definitely get your perspective on the tush push here in just a bit. But 0-2, first time in Mahomes' career. You know the Eagles pretty well. We all saw the Super Bowl, and then now we see it a second time. What did you make of how the Chiefs stacked up this go around against the Eagles? Did you feel like there was some improvement there? What do you think is the biggest issue for Kansas City?
Well, there was definitely improvement because Mahomes wasn't getting absolutely crushed every play, and they were able to, you know, block up the Eagles a little bit better. You know, Mahomes, you could tell how bad he wanted to win that game with how much he was using his legs, that's for sure. That was like the Chiefs' best offense for a big portion of the game. And I would also say the Chiefs improved because they were doing that without a lot of their guys. I mean, it's kind of crazy to see the second half of the game and fourth quarter, and they're trying to come from behind, and Mahomes is out here chucking the ball to Tyquan Thornton and Nico Remigio. I mean, I don't think any Eagles fans have ever even heard of either one of these guys. It's pretty remarkable. You know, let's put it this way. The Eagles' passing attack is not exactly firing on all cylinders right now, but it'd be a lot worse without Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, that's for sure.
I think the way I look at it, I know it hasn't related to wins yet, but Mahomes is, like, you know he's trying to win for the reason you mentioned, in the sense that he's playing it like a playoff game. Like, he's putting it all out there in an effort to get even 5 yards, if that's what it takes to get out of him. My fear is just, like, he can't play that style for 17 games. Like, that can't last. They can't operate that way forever, Ross. He's a gamer, but, like, they can't play that way.
No, for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, the injury risk, but teams will also, you know, the Eagles adjusted a little bit in the second half. And they certainly, you know, did a better job against him in that regard. You know, all that said, you know, whether you call it the Travis Kelce drop or Mahomes throwing the ball a little too early or combination of both, you know, if that doesn't happen, it's a pretty good chance they win the game. I mean, they're right there. Mm-hmm. That was the play of the game. That was the game-changing play, you know, whatever you want to call it, 14-point swing, 10-point swing. It made a huge, huge difference, clearly. So they still had a chance to win the game. And they obviously, not only did they do a better job of protecting Mahomes than they did in the Super Bowl, but they certainly did a better job on defense as well.
How much trouble, I guess, do you think they're actually in? They're 0-2. They get the Giants on Sunday. We all know that Worthy has a decent chance to play Sunday. We know Rice is coming back. But at some point, you know, you do have to start winning games. So where's the panic meter? Where should that be at, in your opinion?
Well, if 10 is like the highest panic and 1 is none, I would put it at, I don't know, 3 or 4 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they're going to beat the Giants, which will go a long way. I think they're going to get Worthy back. The question about Worthy, the interesting thing about Worthy is just, I believe he's going to have like a harness or whatever they call it, you know, for the rest of the year. You know, different guys react differently to that. Some guys, you don't even notice they have it and they play awesome. Other guys, it kind of becomes an issue. You know, like, it's one of those where they're not playing as well as they had earlier, and people are wondering why that's the case. You know, that's certainly something to keep an eye on. But I definitely think they'll be a lot better when they have both Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy out there. Even just having one of them would help tremendously, but both for sure.
Ross, let's talk a little bit about the tush push. Obviously, that became a major national talking point out of the game because of the zoomed-in versions of some of the false starts. We're on this show of saying two things can be true. You can both be committing the penalties and it having an impact on the game, and I'm not here to try to tell you it's the reason they lost the game either, but they're going to be under an absolute microscope now, right? The NFL and the referees are going to have to watch this harder than ever because of the conversation it got. We likened it to when Chris Collinsworth went off on Juwan Taylor, and he spent the rest of the next two seasons being watched like a hawk.
Yeah, I've been kind of saying, I said this on the Ross Tucker podcast, that it feels like, you know, the Eagles kind of won the battle but might have lost the war in terms of the tush push, because there's such an uproar again. It was the, you know, highest profile game of the regular season so far. Everybody's watching it. Super Bowl rematch. And to A, have that much success with it, but then B, for them to clearly have a couple false starts that weren't called, that's probably enough, I would guess, that for them to be able to get a couple owners to go ahead and change their mind and be able to get rid of it this offseason. I think we've probably talked about it before, guys. The thing that people don't realize is most of the people don't like it. They don't want it in there because they don't like how it looks stylistically, right? Which is fine. Everybody has their own right, whatever. The problem is that it's really not going to change all that much. You know, if they outlaw pushing from behind, the Eagles are still going to run quarterback sneak. It's still going to be a massive humanity. Hurts is still going to go to the left. And maybe it's not quite as successful because the push helps him, you know, sometimes with that second surge. But it's still going to be really successful. I just don't feel like they're really, it's really going to change all that much. And I think people kind of lose sight of that. But yes, I would expect them to be very ready to throw the flag on any violation or perceived violation by the Eagles on that play, because obviously it's pretty clear that most of the people or the league office or whatever, they don't like it. Even Dean Blandino saying during the game, mm-hmm. he doesn't like it. They just don't like it.
What have you seen on the Chiefs' offensive line? And we know the investment they've made over the last couple of years, not just the first-round pick this year in Simmons, but you know, literally financially, Creed Humphrey's the highest-paid center, Trey Smith, the highest-paid guard in NFL history, Juwan Taylor, you know, is the second-highest-paid player on the team cap-wise this season, and yet short yardage, they can't get a yard, Ross. Is this a running back issue where they should have invested more in the offseason there? Is it just a scheme? What are you seeing from an O-line that they should have the guys to get it done?
Sounds to me like they should run the tush push.
right. Although, well, we want them to do QB sneak.
So bad. Andy's afraid.
He won't do it.
Well, I know Mahomes got hurt doing it, so he won't do it again. It's just crazy. Like, of all the plays to get hurt, a quarterback sneak. Which, by the way, they shouldn't run the tush push because nobody can run it nearly as well as the Eagles, which is, to me, the most interesting part. It's not the part isn't interesting that nobody can stop it. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just that what good of a design play. The it's such a copycat league. The crazy part is that nobody can do it.
I just think no one else in the league can squat thrust a semi-truck like Jalen Hurts.
Well, I think his strength helps, but the secret really is Landon Dickerson and then Mailata. I mean, those guys are absolute monsters. And I think Mailata, with his, you know, being from Australia, playing rugby his whole life, I think he teaches the other guys the technique much, much better than what these other teams try to do it.
Ross,
you know, they realize it's like the second surge, and it's keeping your feet moving, and I think the other teams don't do it as much. To your point about the Chiefs, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that they should be getting more out of their offensive line with what they've invested in it. I think the left side will continue to grow. I'm still, like, absolutely in awe of what Simmons did on Sunday, chasing down Makuba. I mean, that was like, I can't tell you how impressive that is. It's amazing.
When you look at the rest of the league, I'm always curious. Let's leave Cincinnati out of the conversation because they just lost Joe Burrow. Who of the 2-0 teams do you think is more fraudulent? You know, you say don't panic on the 0-2 Chiefs. Who are those 2-0 teams you're like, I'm not really buying it? Colts, Cardinals. I don't even care if you don't think the Bills are as good as they've looked so far in the early going. Who in that squad are you a little more leery of despite the fact they've been winning?
Probably the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, well, I mean, I don't even know if the Cincinnati Bengals count now that they lost Burrow. I won't even count the Bengals now because they're not going anywhere. But I think the Colts, Bills, and Chargers are pretty legit. I think the Cardinals are the team that, you know, they've played two really bad teams. I mean, they played the Saints and the Panthers. They are two of the worst four or five teams in the Ross Tucker, you know, podcast power rankings. And they didn't even look all that great. I mean, they won the game, which is all that matters, but it's not like they looked all that great doing it. So, I would certainly say to me, it's them. It's the Arizona Cardinals.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I think you're a good person to ask this question to because you've been part of not only TV and radio broadcasts, you obviously played in the league as well. And there was a bunch made of Tom Brady being in the coaching booth and obviously being a broadcaster, being a minority owner. And that all came back to light again after Monday Night Football. Cody and I differ on this. I think some of it is overblown in terms of what people think he's getting out of these production meetings, other than for a broadcast perspective versus what it could be used for personnel decisions. What do you make of this? Should he be allowed to have the access he has?
Well, I guess I'm okay with him having the access he has, but now it's just up to the teams to decide what they say to him. You know, because he's not able to go to the facilities. It all has to be remote. So it's really just up to the teams as to what they say to him. And I think that they'll be pretty tight-lipped. I mean, it's not like they give away state secrets. In these meetings, not only they're telling you what play they're going to run, but they do give you information about personnel. I mean, it depends. It varies from team to team and coach to coach, but they do try to help you out and make sure you're informed about their squad for the broadcast. Guys playing well, guys not, you know, things that guys do better at than others, things where they struggle. You know, like Brady's doing Bears-Cowboys Sunday. And then the following week, the Raiders play the Bears. And now we know that Brady meets with Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll, you know, virtually two or three times a week and gives them information, you know, a sounding board. If you're Ben Johnson, I wouldn't want to tell Brady really anything about the personnel on my team or any really type of insight into what he's thinking, a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I guess the way I look at it is it probably is not good for the rest of the people on his crew, you know?
I agreed on that, and I also just think that it's a black eye for the NFL to allow it. Because, like, I see a lot of people just be like, they're not telling you that much in there. I'm like, cool, then I just want Spags in the meeting. Is that okay? Like, it's no different. Brady's got a headset on game day. Can Spags and Brett Veach attend the meetings or no? And so, like, if you're not – my problem is that it is whether it's small or perceived, it is an advantage given to one team and one person, not the league, Ross. It's just one person who gets an extra thing that nobody else gets.
Yep. I think that's fair. I think it's true. I think that what the deal is that you just don't say anything to them then. I mean,
yeah.
I think those production meetings will be not as beneficial for his crew moving forward, especially for the teams that are playing him this year, like especially the Bears this week. That I would love to know what that means. to reverse it, right? If Tom Brady was quarterback for the Bears this week and Bill Belichick was head coach for the Bears this week, they would say nothing, literally nothing, to the Raiders owner / broadcaster, whoever that is.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're...
We're playing football this week. You like anything about it? Nope, just that we're planning on playing the game.
Yeah, it would be something like that. Ross, where are you headed this weekend? You doing some college games as well?
Nope. Tonight I have, or tomorrow night, I've got Dolphins at the Bills on radio for Westwood One. And then on Sunday, I've got the Colts, the 2-0 Colts.
Yeah.
Looking good at the 0-2 Titans, number one pick, Cam Moore. That's a good one. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. We'll be listening. We'll be watching. Thanks, Ross.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.